Listening to Radio Australia today with Adeline Ong, Zulfikara Barney, and we have Maurice Misilowski in the studio as well, who's our futurist. And I like looking at futuristic things on Friday because it just makes me think about the weekend.
The weekend,
which is the future. Absolutely. The future is now.
Well, the future is now.
It is now.
Absolutely.
But, you know,
that is such a futuristic thing to say.
Oh, it's just rambling nonsense, Adeline. I'm sorry. I couldn't stop myself. But, you know, we had, we were speaking to, and I've forgotten his name, but, you know, the author, I'll find out in a second, the author of The Future Files.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Watson.
Thank you very much. Richard Watson. And it was just, you know, the one thing that kept sort of, not bugging me, but the question in my head throughout the interview was, How do you predict stuff? I mean, there's a line from a comedian in Germany. He sort of talks about, you know, governments trying to predict whether you know, they should buy stockpiles of soup. So they go to a restaurant and they see somebody eating some soup, and then the predictor writes in, "Oh, they're eating soup. That's great." And then they leave the restaurant and they say, "Well, let's buy soup, enough soup for 10 years." And of course, they've missed the fact that the person said, "Oh, that soup's horrible. I'm never eating soup again." Mm. How can you predict 50 years in advance, or even 50 days in advance?
Watching someone eat soup actually isn't all that effective. by that stage, the trend's gone, because you're actually watching it in existence. Well, so what you want to do is you actually want to go before that. So there is no great way to do this. I mean, if there was, I'd be doing Tetzler numbers or racehorses, and we'd be doing something very different from a Greek island. The way that I do it, and again, I work primarily in the business sphere, is that I look backwards to look forwards, meaning that I work on a great understanding about what anthropology and what humankind is and how we will react to certain situations and certain circumstances that come to us. And then we look forward to look at what technology, primarily over the last 20 years, it's been technology driven. So what technology might be tomorrow, 5, 10, 15 years away? And that's, I mean, it's obviously robots, but it's also medicine. It's all sorts of things that are put into that cocktail. And then look at, if these things come true, how might we react to them? How might we begin to live with them? And therefore, what might we need to do?
Well, I'm trying to work out, you know, how I'm going to live without a mouse and a keyboard. I mean, yes. You know, that's one of your topics today. I mourn the sad demise of the Apple remote control.
Well, there's a new one coming.
And now, but now Apple is pointing to the death of the mouse and keyboard.
Yes.
Hang on. Rewind. The death of the remote control? What's wrong with the remote control?
No, the remote control will be around, but Apple's...
They just stopped shipping it with the, you
had to buy. Oh, I see.
Because
probably a cost factor.
Yes.
Apple has... It's not really announced, so there's been a lot of scuttlebutt over the last week about what Apple's up to. And one of the things Apple's tried to do over the last few years, and I've talked about this for the last 10 years. In fact, I said 10 years ago that the keyboard and mouse would be dead by the year 2015. If you look at the iPhone, if you look at a lot of applications we have now, we actually aren't using the physical keyboard in front of us as much anymore. If you look at touchscreens, which are becoming more and more popular, not just in the iPhone, but on the screens we have on our desk, again, we're not using the physical keyboard. In many cases, our interim step is now that we have a digital keyboard on the screen that we can press. But what we're going to find moving forward is that we will eventually even get away from that, and we will begin just to talk to the device, which is human nature. That's really what we want to do. The mouse and the keyboard get in the way.
I hope they get better, though, because I was saying that I got myself a new smartphone, and it's got this little nifty thing where it's supposed to be able to recognize. I'm supposed to say, call, for example, my husband's name is Bram, so call Bram. And every time I do that, it goes, call Brendan, which is the name of our boss. not the person I wanted to speak to at a certain time, I don't know. But and even the names of songs that it's supposed to identify, it's supposed to be playing a song, and you're supposed to say, well, who's playing? It's supposed to tell you, but pronunciation,
yes.
Accents, different languages, they're all an issue, and it's not very accurate at the moment.
It isn't, but it's getting much better. I mean, I actually can get it to understand me about 7 times out of 10, but you've got to slow down and enunciate really clearly. The technology that can make that better, that will allow us to use our own accents and our own idiosyncrasies, is actually out there, but it's very, very expensive, and it's used by governments at this stage. So I think we're about 3 to 5 years away from seeing it mainstream. The governments, the FBI, CIA, they've developed programs that allow them to listen in across the world. I mean, it really did come from that end of the world where they were listening constantly to the radios, waves and things that were going out, and they had to find a way to be able to get the information so that they could all read it. So they have developed very sophisticated algorithms that allow them to literally just put on the technology of a radio and it will transcribe itself regardless of where it's coming from, regardless of accent. So it's being used at that very top end. We're seeing some software programs that have it. The ones that I'm aware of, I don't really love. They're better than they were 3 or 5 years ago. You know, they're getting better and better. They're still not with the point that you're talking about, but they are, I think, 3 to 5 years away. Having said that, it'll be a mixture of all kinds of things. So already we see cars, for instance, that have inbuilt purpose where you can ask it to do, as you've just said, play the song, or you know, what's the temperature, or where am I going. The iPhone has it. So we'll get there. We'll get there. It'll be one of those things that we'll see in the future.
We just don't like to wait, do we?
No, we don't, but we'll have to. Talking of waiting, we had a really monumental step yesterday in Australia at 1:13 p.m. And that was that our population ticked over to 22 million.
Wow.
Wow.
No, really?
No, it was.
Yeah.
So 22 million. And I must have been one of those nerds. In fact, I heard another one yesterday. He was actually sitting there. I was doing a presentation. In the middle of the presentation, I had my iPhone going, trying to watch the clock tick over, and actually saw it go to 22 million. I have such a shallow life.
Yeah, but hold on a minute.
Before you know it, just blink a couple of times, it'll be, what was it, 35 million by the year 2050?
Something like that.
It could well be. That's what they're saying.
Yeah. But, you know, so you say at 1:13 in the afternoon, mm-hmm. we can be absolutely sure that the population of Australia became 22 million.
Of course not. Statistics and damn lies.
Well, yes, absolutely.
But I'll tell you where
it's in Churchill. But the thing is, but what I'm trying to work out is, I mean, you know, so actually, sorry, you're saying that it's nonsense.
I'm not saying it's nonsense. I'm saying it's based on the ABS. So abs.gov.au has a population clock.
Uh-huh.
And the population clock works on a statistical basis. It works out the average number of births in Australia, the average number of deaths, and the average number of migrants. And it does that algorithm, and it keeps the algorithm going every second of every day. So you can go onto the clock at any time to get what the average population would be. But because it's seen to be the number that all us believe in, it's the number that we go by.
Right, because I was just wondering, you know, you'd have to rely on midwives to be typing into the computer, yes, we've had another one.
Yeah, that's
had
right.
Had another one.
All
and
those
that
ones
sort of
not
updates.
Being born in the hospital yet.
Yeah, so it's definitely a statistical algorithm, but it's based on the census, it's based on pretty good algorithms, but again, statistics and damn lies. It's as close as we're going to get to an actual count until we get another census, which is a few years away.
Well, I just wonder how many people are going to grow up in the school yards and say, you know, no, actually, I'm the 22nd millionth Australian.
We mentioned Google Wave earlier on, supposed to be able to help you keep on top of all your technology. What did you think? Have you had a chance to check it out?
I haven't been able to check it out because also I wasn't one of those 100,000 that got the invite.
This is outrageous.
Don't worry, I wasn't either, you know.
Well, I could understand that.
Right, I'm leaving. Thank you. And goodbye.
Well, then, let's move on. Let's move on to something still Google related. Earth.
Yeah, but what I've heard of it also, I must say, I actually think it will take off, but I don't think it'll be as big as Google wants it to be.
Right.
And that's because most things Google do, they tend to have a big push behind it. So it will have, to use euphemism, the wave behind it that people will take up. But I agree with Jeremy, it will have a lot of clutter in it, but it's built in to do that because it is that meant to be that funnel tool where we bring everything that we do in the internet into one central place. As you said before, 10 email accounts and Facebook and whatever else you have, you can imagine that. That would take up a lot of real estate on the screen. Mm. And it would have to be messy just by the nature of what you do. It'll come down, I think, to good gardening habits. In other words, you'll have to weed it all out and figure out what you actually do want at the screen at any particular time, take out the rest and put them onto some secondary screen.
See, I mean, I need technology to decide those things for me, so I don't have to think about it.
And it will. It can definitely do that. If you let it.
Oh, no. Eventually, there will be a robot that does that. Google Earth Climate.
Yes. Now, this was something that was launched yesterday. We seem to be talking a lot about Google today. But you know the Google 3D maps that they have, where they allow us to look around the Earth? Yesterday, they announced an overlay for climate change. And it is one of these predictive tools. And it was put together not by Al Gore, but certainly under his auspices. And he does an intro video at it. And it is their prediction of where they see the Earth over the next 91 years, so up to 2100. and it gives you the overlay of how the world will change, how the globe will change in its look and feel for that period of time.
So we can say we'll be pretty close to Al Gore's predictions of how he thinks. Because there's so many versions out there.
It seems to be informed by what he believes, and he's certainly done the introduction to it, so I would say that would have to fit in with what he believes it to be. But it's an interesting way just to visually understand. I find the topic difficult because it's not something I can visualize very well. It's just such a big thing to get your head around, that when you actually see the globe changing, for worse in this case, you know, when you can see it changing, it kind of drives the message home. Mm-hmm. And when you can see it do it over some period of time, some extended period of time, which is 80 or 90 years. So it's an interesting thing to look at, and maybe it will galvanize some more discussion around what is going to happen and what we might be able to do to prevent some of the things that might be coming.
Okay, Disney is selling access to its books?
Yes, now Disney has the same issue. You talked before about, you know, advertising online not working particularly well and revenue being down. Disney is coming to terms with the fact that its revenue, although it is very good, might not be as strong into the future because kids supposedly aren't going to read hard copy books as much as I perhaps did or my generation did. So what Disney has done is they've put all of their books online and they've allowed an annual access. So it's $79.95 US per annum, and for that you have access to the entire Disney library online. So what you can do is,
It's going that way, it seems, because I was just browsing smartphone applications. There's one where you just pay, I think it's 10 US dollars a month, and you get to listen to about access to, I don't know, a million songs or something, a really big number of songs.
Yeah, you could well do. There are lots of those models coming up because it seems to be the easiest way to do it. The Nokia phone works on that basis, that you pay an annual subscription. You can download as much music as you want for that period. Because it is the issue of people don't really want to pay crumbs. They want to pay bits and pieces. It works for the Apple Store, but it's not going to work increasingly ongoing. So this new Disney one allows you to read the books online, but it also reads the books for you. Kids can read along with it, and if they stumble on a word, it will read that word for them. So it has some educational merit in it as well. And they say that will increase over the years. And they're also going to change it in the next couple of years to be foreign language as well. So at the moment, it's English.
Okay, we can bank on it saying Rumpelstiltskin properly?
I haven't checked it out. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Disney?
We must check that.
I'm not sure even about that.
We must check that.
Morris Misowalski, we're going to have to leave it there for today, but thank you very much, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
A pleasure. Look forward to it.
Thank you very much.
He's a business futurist, and you can catch more of him on www.businessfuturist.com.
Thank you. Till next time.